Matthew chapter 15. Then the scribes and Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." I tell you what, these Pharisees and scribes are some nasty people. They are always trying to get Jesus for something. Well, he comes right back and he says, but he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Let me ask you, whose commandment do you think trumps whose? God's or these religious leaders who are corrupt as politicians? "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatever you might have profited by me, and he shall be free to not honor his father and mother.'" So basically what the Pharisees and scribes have done is they've taken the law of Moses, this command about honoring your father and mother. It's one of the Ten Commandments even. They twisted that around, found a loophole, and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. If we give a bunch of money to the temple, which then, in effect, we'll end up getting back ourselves in our own pockets, we can just tell our parents, yeah, we gave a bunch of money to the temple, so we don't have any money left to support you guys. Sorry. It was just a nasty way for them to try to get around this commandment from God with their own little loophole tradition. And of course, they're not fooling God. They're not fooling Jesus. "Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah did well when he prophesied about you, saying," and this is from Isaiah 29:13, "This people draws near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And I tell you what, we see that today in the Christian religion. And I'm putting air quotes around Christian religion because the word Christian has been so watered down and so misused and abused that anyone who has a casual belief in God is a Christian, no matter how wicked and evil their lifestyle is. And this happens a lot today. You have these religious groups that just make up their own rules. They don't go to God's word for any of their authority for what they do in worship services. Nothing. It's just a social club. They just make it up. And they think that they're okay because, after all, we're a religious group. And he called the multitudes and said to them, "Hear and understand." In other words, listen and pay attention to what I'm saying. "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." And you know he's talking about the Pharisees and scribes. They say one thing and they do another, and their hearts are wicked. And for the Pharisees and scribes, it's really all about having power over the people, much like politicians. "Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying?'" I kind of laugh when I read that because I'm like, so what? "But he answered and said, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up.'" Now, of course, he's not talking about literal plant. What is he talking about? He's talking about churches, people, and even congregations of the Lord's church that are not doing what God said. They're not looking to the scriptures for their authority to do anything. They're doing whatever they want. And they think if they act religious, that's good enough. He says, "Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Now, that might sound harsh, but he's not talking about people who have no way of knowing God's word. These are people who choose not to. And they're just following these religious leaders and never bothering to check to see if what they are saying is the truth. And we have millions of people that do that today in their religious groups. They just sit there and they listen to their preacher or their pastor just say whatever they want, and they just believe it, and they never open their Bibles to see if what that pastor or preacher or whoever said was actually the truth, was actually in God's Word. Then Peter answered and said to them, "Declare this parable unto us." So explain this parable of the plant that and God rooting them up. And Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding?" He's a little bit surprised that the disciples are still struggling with what he's trying to say. "Do you not understand that whatever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the latrine?" So we eat food, goes into our belly, digests, comes out as waste. "But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." So whatever comes out of your mouth, that's from your heart. And I tell you what, you only have to spend like 5 minutes on social media to see what's in people's hearts. And it is not pretty. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." And we have to remember, too, a lot of people want to follow their heart. Well, out of the heart proceeds a lot of bad things. And so we have to be careful about following our heart. We need to make sure that our heart is in the right place and that our heart is taught correctly. Just a quick side note. Let's go to Jeremiah 17:9. I think that's a good scripture to go along with what we just read. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So we got to be careful what's in our heart, because whatever's in our heart's going to end up coming out of our mouth. And then people are going to see who we really are. "Then Jesus went from there and departed into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan," so this would be a Gentile, "came out of the same region and cried to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon," or an evil spirit. Now, this is a Gentile woman living in Tyre and Sidon. These are not Jewish cities. She's not a Jew. And yet, she knew enough about Jesus to know that he was the Son of David and that he could perform miracles. So that's impressive. "But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" And I think this is kind of a test. Jesus is teaching and preaching to the Jews first. God has given them first dibs on learning about the church and the law of Christ. That's not to say that the Gentiles, the rest of us in the world, were lost or not even given a chance to be saved. They were still under some kind of law from God. But he is giving the opportunity first to the Jews to learn about this new law of Christ and the church. And a lot of them are rejecting it. "Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not proper to take the children's bread," so the Jews, "and to cast it to dogs.'" Now, this word dogs makes it sound very insulting. But it's my understanding that that particular Greek word really would be better translated as like young pups. So he's not insulting them, calling her a dog. So he's more like saying it's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the puppies. And she said, "True, Lord, yet the puppies eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table." So that was a pretty wise saying on her part, because Jesus was saying, I'm supposed to be teaching and preaching to the Jews first. And she's saying, okay,
Okay, so the Gentiles would be considered the puppies. But she says, okay, but we puppies can get some of that bread too if we're there and it's available and we go for it. And Jesus is very impressed with her answer. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. May it be to you just as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And Jesus departed from there and came near to the Sea of Galilee and went up on a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those who were lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them to such a degree that the multitude wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now let me point out something. There are so many people out there today who think that there are still miracles. I disagree. I believe that God teaches in his word that for a short period of time in the first century, he allowed miracles to occur. I'm thinking around somewhere between about a 40-year period from 30 to 70 AD. He made it very common for people to be able to perform miracles. And we'll see that in Acts 2, where it says that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon everybody, not everybody, but was poured out so that people were able to perform miracles, and that was very, very common. But that was just temporary. It had a purpose. It was to confirm the word. It was to help spread the word, help spread the church. And then it ended, and it was done, and it was over. And people will constantly say today, especially those of like Pentecostals, I think they believe in miracles today. And it's simply not true. And here is one good way to tell. Back then, they can make the blind see, the mute speak, the lame walk, and all that stuff. Well, you'll see, you know, something on TV where a televangelist will smack somebody in the head, and then they get up out of their wheelchair and they're walking, or what have you. Those are charlatans. Have you ever seen the maimed made whole? Someone missing a leg, and the person touches where their missing leg is, and poof, there's a new leg on that person. No, it does not happen, because supernatural acts do not happen today. God does not allow it. There was a period of time when he did allow it. Now he doesn't. So, until you show me somebody missing a leg that is touched by somebody and that leg miraculously, supernaturally appears, I can say with all confidence that miracles do not happen today. And we will get into that more as we go. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint on the way. So Jesus had a lot of compassion for people. And his disciples said to him, from where should we get so much bread in the wilderness as to feed so great a multitude? And I want to say, guys, do you remember just 2 chapters before, or maybe just a chapter before? In chapter 14, where Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 plus women and children, how quickly you forget. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples. Does this not sound very familiar? And the disciples gave them to the multitude. And they all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken food that was left. And those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude and got into the ship and came into the region of Magdala. And that is chapter 15.